Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
From that time on, which includes us, we are co-missioning with Christ. He doesn't leave us to fulfill this of our own strength and accord. We know on day 50 post-resurrection, the day of Pentecost, is that God poured out his Holy Spirit, the comforter, the power, the dunamos that we need to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. So we are co-partnering, we are co-missioning with Christ for the fulfillment. Now this commission is not an optional extra. If you profess faith in Christ, this is a command. This is something that Christ has commanded us to do. So if you think it's not relevant to you, go and have a talk to that person that's in the mirror when you look and say, self, we need to have a talk. All right, because this is not an optional extra. For the church global, this is our mission. This is one of the key reasons we exist, is to fulfill the Great Commission and to fulfill the Great Commandment. And so we've been talking about that the church throughout the centuries has, I guess, expressed that, articulated the Great Commission in different ways. So, you know, if we read in Matthew chapter 28, where I've asked you to turn, and we'll just read from verse 18, and it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" It's easier to tell other people to obey what Jesus commanded than us to obey. Anyway, obey, "I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for who you are. We praise you, Lord, for your grace, your ongoing grace and patience. Thank you that your word says that your divine power has given us everything that we need to fulfill life, to represent you well, but to fulfill godliness as you require. We thank you for that. Pray somehow this morning, Holy Spirit, that supernaturally you would remind us, re-reveal, or bring fresh revelation when it comes to this commission that we've been mandated to fulfill. Help us, Holy Spirit, to truly represent you well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a supernatural God. We have a God that is interested in the day-to-day runnings. If he can feed the sparrows of the air, if he can clothe the fields of lilies with the beauty and the splendor, he can take care of our practical needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And God understands the practical needs, but he also understands we live in a world where there's a spiritual void that can't be filled by things. And he says, you know what, I am the solution. I am the answer for what people are searching for. And Jesus came to the planet to restore humanity's relationship with God. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he's sealed that. He's done everything that has been required for that to take place. Nothing more can be or needs to be done. He's done it all. It's all done in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Jesus, the total salvation package is complete in and through him. And he goes, "Hey, I'm giving myself to you. I'm giving my spirit to you. I want to walk with you so you can fulfill what I've commanded you to do." I love the fact we've got a supernatural God. I love the fact that when we gather together like this, there is the possibility, there's the potential for anything to happen. Even in worship today, I mean, sure, just come up, because Cher was just praying, felt like there's a word for somebody here that needs to, something wants to share, and we want to encourage that.
Thanks, Phil. Just during worship, I felt my stomach just being in knots and on the verge of tears and kind of questioned God, what was that about? And just felt like there is someone who, you know, people have anxiety and things like that, but it's to the point where it's really restrictive. And that this is the only space where you feel you can be yourself and be free, where home, work, even driving is like a trap for you. And just wanted to encourage you in that time where we were worshipping and singing, "Oh, how he loves us," that word was for you. And just wanted to share with you 1 Peter chapter 5, which says the following from verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And please keep reading further towards the end of that till verse 11. But just wanted to share that with you, whoever you are. Happy to pray for you after if you want to as well. But just take that. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Now, God is interested. Amen. God is interested in you. If you are sitting here this morning, you think that God has forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. He is there for you. So over the centuries, the church has expressed, and we too as a church have expressed, I guess, in a way, how we believe we're called to fulfill this great commission. Entwined with that, the great command of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and strength, and loving our neighbour as ourselves. And so we presented in our Vision Month our mission statement, reason for being, if you like, as a church. And we actually have it articulated that we are called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. So we're called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. Let's all read that together. Ready, set, go. Called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. Now, every word in there is pregnant with meaning. And so what I want to do this morning is just take a few minutes just to take a look at each word and why is that word? Why do we choose that word? And so we went through a whole process around developing, I guess, redefining the mission statement and going into our vision statement. So what you've been given, the little piece of paper firstly that you've been handed, is a strategic prayer plan that you can actually be praying for those people that you desire to reach with the love of Jesus Christ. There is a great power that comes through praying scripture and praying scripture for people. And so what you've got there before you is a list of scriptures that you can be praying for those people that you believe you've been called to impact and reach. And so that's why that piece of paper has been given to you. And so we went through a whole process of defining, redefining our mission and our vision. Now, we handed out a vision document in Feb, and I think most people got that. So what we're talking about here is our mission. What does that look like as it starts to unfold and become reality for us as a church family? What is it going to look like in 5, 10 years from now? Well, we've documented that in our vision document. If you don't have a copy of that document, just slip up your hand and our team's just going to run you that out so you can have a look, have a read. So if you would like one of those documents, you didn't get one, slip your hand up. Our team's ready to go. Anyone want one? Anyone want one? Xander, cool. And down the back, Sarah's down at the sound desk if there's somebody else there, and Craig down the front here. So what you'll see is literally a document that expresses and paints a picture of what this mission statement being fulfilled will look like. So what we have here is our mission statement. And this is, I guess, our reason for being. The first word there is called. Now that's kind of, for some people, might be a strange word to have, that we're called to our world. But that word called indicates that we're set apart for a particular purpose or being raised up. We're anointed, that we've been commissioned to, that we are fulfilling something that God has called us to fulfill, as in the will of God. This is something that is part of our responsibility in following Christ and being a follower of Christ. It's part of who we are and what we do. And it's a calling too. I mean, called would indicate that you're called to something. So it's putting it out there that it's a call to action. And we'll actually have a look what we're called to. But this whole idea around being called is something that I'm quite passionate about. Because, you know, when it comes to following Christ and being obedient to what God has actually called us to do and be, is not just a choice, it's an active, it's a determined act of my will. Because if I actually had a choice around certain things, there's certain things that I would do and certain things that I wouldn't do. But when it comes to following the word of God, as the Apostle Paul says, I find myself doing the things I shouldn't and not doing the things I should. Anyone else like that? You're not on your own. But when we are called, we have this kind of innate sense that I am doing what God has created me to do. Now, I think there's twofold. We touched on this briefly. I think there's the revealed will of God, the things that God has made obvious that we are called to fulfill and follow and be and do. Things like prayer, reading the Word of God, worship, loving each other, our neighbour, living lives that line up with the Word of God, fulfilling the Great Commission, all these things that God has revealed in His Word that are obvious. I call that the revealed will of God. As a church, there are certain things that we are called to do, that we are called to gather together regularly, that we're called to meet together, we're called to worship, we're called to preach the word, we're called to participate in Holy Communion, we're called to participate in encouraging and seeing people go through the waters of baptism, we're called to be a house of prayer, we're called to see people, provide opportunities for people to grow and become more like Jesus' disciples. So there's a bunch of things that the Bible outlines to us that have been revealed to us that are really clear. But then I would have, there's this other area that I would title the concealed will of God, things that aren't as obvious. So when it comes to you personally, what is it that God has called you to do? You know, it may not be specifically outlined in terms of vocation and that kind of thing for your life specifically. So it's more concealed, which is there's a need for us to take personal responsibility of hearing from God. God, what is it that you've called me to do? Where do you desire to use my gifts and my talents and my abilities? And so there are certain decisions that we have to go to prayer, and we have to go to fasting, we have to seek God. Now let me just say that the concealed will of God for your life and my life will always line up with and fit within the revealed will of God. So the calling that I am called to fulfill in my vocation, my work, or wherever I go, that life that I get to live will always line up with what God's revealed in His Word. Does that make sense? Now, when we talk about the call, we are called. It's not like that we've got that phone call from God. You know what I'm saying? It's like God's on the phone and say, go and do this. I think when it comes to your personal will that God's got for your life, the calling that is on your life, sometimes it's a process of what I would call trial and error, hopefully more trial than error. But sometimes it's just trying to work out, God, where do you have me fit? What is it that you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What should I be doing with all of this? And you know what I think is one of the saddest things? When people go through life and never wrestling and really crying out to God to say, God, what is it that you've called me to do? And we stay within a vocation, we stay within a sphere of life where deep down we're not satisfied, we're not passionate about what we do, we don't love it, we don't have that sense that I was born for this. Because we get preoccupied with the mortgage, we get preoccupied with this, we get preoccupied with responsibilities. I'm not saying we should ignore responsibilities, but I can guarantee that when you passionately start to pursue God's call and purpose for your life, all of those other things will work themselves out. I hope I make you uncomfortable this morning. Because I'm not interested in people living comfortable lives. I think one of the greatest challenges, we've been talking about this lately, one of the greatest challenges we have here in middle class Melbourne, one of the greatest challenges we have to us growing as a church, one of the greatest challenges we have as a community having all the impact that we could possibly have is comfortability. Because at the end of the day, you know what? If I lose my job, I get Centrelink. If I get sick, I'm going to go to the public health system. The risks for us are not that I'm comfortable. Like in Malawi, those guys, if you don't come through, we don't eat next week. It's a bit different. Do you hear what I'm saying? So how do we as a community take ourselves to that place of hunger and desperation? And I don't have time this morning on about how Nat and I have done that with our lives. But as a leader, I do not ask my leaders to do something that I haven't done myself or I'm not willing to do myself. Yeah. But comfortability, how do we combat that? But my challenge to you this morning, I've sort of stepped off the path here a little bit, but I encourage you, and I know for the blokes this year, I want our blokes through our time together to start to get a conviction in their spirit of like, yes, this is where God has called me to be. Because when you're in that place that God wants you to be, that's when you will be most effective. That's when you will have the most impact. That's when you will have the most satisfaction and fulfillment. It's not about the title, the position, the cars, the house, the cash. It's not about that. Those things take care of themselves. It's about pursuing God. What is it that you've called me to be? It's not a choice. It's hearing about God. What is it that you've called me to be? It's not me imposing my will on God. It's God, what's your will for my life? So we as a church, we are called. We are called. That God has specifically set us apart to fulfill his great commission. So what are we called to? We're called to our world. We're called to our world. And I'd put this simply as your personal world firstly. You know, God has placed you in the street, in the block of flats, or wherever you live. You're there for a very good reason. God has placed you in the places you find yourself, whether it's a sporting club or it's at work or university or wherever it might be. God has placed you there. So this applies to you, are called to your personal world. The people that you engage with, the people that you get to rub shoulders with, the people that you get to bump into, the people that you are meant to be Jesus to. So personally, there's an application for each and every one of us. Because as we keep saying, what is Compass Church's growth strategy? As I keep saying, I'm looking at it. You are our growth strategy. We're not about a big church, we're about big people. If you start living in the sweet spot that God's got for you, that he's called you to use your gifts and talents to bring glory to him, and you live out your convictions with consistency, people will notice you for the right reasons. Not because you annoy them, because you love them even when they don't deserve it. Yeah. And you just continue to do that. People ask me, Phil, how is it that you kind of like people end up coming to church or they want to know more about faith and stuff? I don't know. I just want to love Jesus and I want to love people. I don't have a strategy. I'm not talking myself up. I'm just saying that when we live out our convictions with consistency, people will see that. And I have a personal responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission, but we together as a church community have a responsibility to impact our community, to impact this city, this nation, and nations of the world that God's opened doors for us. As we heard this morning, Malawi. You know, we don't do that because it makes us feel better. Let me make it clear. We do not send finance. We do not send teams. And we've got a team going soon. We don't do that just so we can actually say, well, I feel better and I can sleep better and I put my head on the pillow and feel better because we're doing something for those poor people over in Africa. That's not why we do it. We do it because we're mandated to do it. We're called, and we should do it because we're motivated by a love and a desperation to care for those that are less fortunate than us because we're so ridiculously blessed. So we're called to our world, which encapsulates personal, but our church and our global responsibility. So we're called to our world to do what? Igniting. I like this, not just because it's about fire. I'm not a pyromaniac or anything like that. But for me, I know that when the reality of who God is, even though I knew about God, grew up in a Christian home, but when the reality of who God is became personal for me, something happened within me that I want other people to experience. There was like the life and breath of God being breathed into me personally, and what that was like, my experience, and how it's changed my life and how it's framed my world. It's like this spark got ignited in me, and if I allow the Spirit of God to breathe onto me, that can just continue to burn and to be a great flame and light and bring warmth and hopefully comfort to a whole bunch of people. It's not me, but it's Christ in me. Yeah. It's like we're told that when we invite Christ into our lives, that his Spirit comes and breathes within us. It's like setting a fire in our hearts. And the next one is just a picture, I think it is. And I found this. You've got three elements supposedly for fire to continue to burn. You've got the fuel, heat, oxygen will mean that the fire will continue to burn. We're called to be living sacrifices. Our lives are meant to be the fuel. And then we allow God to bring the heat, bring the Holy Spirit into our lives, and the Holy Spirit is likened to wind, the breath of God to breathe. And you know what it's like when you're trying to start a fire and you breathe on it? And what that does to a fire? And then what is meant to happen is there's meant to be a chain reaction that actually that flame, that fire, actually grows is a fourth step. For some people would say that there can be a chain reaction. Isn't that what our lives should be like? Yeah. Is that my life is a living sacrifice? God, here I am, use me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, set my heart on fire. I want to be passionate about you. I want to actually affect and impact the people that are around me. And we want people, when they come into Compass Church, regardless of whether they've had a church or no church experience, to have that conversion, that encounter, that revelation of who this God is. So all of a sudden, it's just like, man, how amazing is God? Is there anyone else in the room that you get what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't want to hang around boring people. I don't want to hang around boring Christians. I don't want to hang around people who don't think God is exciting. I mean, how many of us have lost the wonder and the awe of who God is? Am I just all excited because you're the preacher guy? No, I love Jesus, unashamedly. And the more I get to know him, I just think, flipping heck, like, God, water from a rock. When was the last time you saw that? When was the last time you saw somebody kind of stand up and say, I've had hep C for 30 years, 35 years, but now I don't? Okay, if that doesn't get you excited, I might just wrap this up and just go home. I mean, if we're not excited and passionate about Jesus, how can you expect any of your friends or people to actually notice or care? And if you're not excited about Jesus, I'm thinking about what to say right now. I don't need help, Michael. Probably not right now. You got some work. But seriously, we're talking about Jesus. Igniting, like, the reality of I was facing a Christless eternity in hell, but now because Jesus loved me and found me and he's forgiven me, I get an eternity. But here on earth, I get life and life to the full. Do I need to keep going, church? It's like, do you honestly believe that Jesus Christ is the solution for the terminal disease called sin? Do you believe that? Or do you believe that there's a whole bunch of different options and avenues? Because if you do think that, I can understand why you'd be comfortable about the Jesus thing. Well, there's lots of different options and people will just find their way. But if we have the conviction that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. I don't say that. He said that. Don't shoot the messenger. I believe it with all my heart. But Jesus, igniting something about Jesus. When was the last time you flipping got excited about Jesus? No, seriously. I mean, when did it suddenly become okay for us to get all safe and comfortable because we talk about Jesus? I was yelling at the screen last night because Adelaide beat Sydney. Yes. We can, like, see, we get excited about that. And so we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't, church. We should get excited about that stuff. But can't we get excited about Jesus? Igniting something. If you haven't been ignited, I'd love to be able to pray for you. We've got leaders that would love to be able to pray for you after. If you don't want to get excited, don't get prayed for. Otherwise, we just live mundane, comfortable lives. For the love of God, no. Luke 3:16 says, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire. If you get baptized with water, you get wet. If you get baptized with fire, look out. What's going to happen to your spirit when you allow the fire of God to capture you and you are totally surrendered to his lordship in that way? And here's a great verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise what God has revealed. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. So therefore, to put something out, it has to be burning in the first place. Right? And let's be careful, church. We're going to have all sorts of people come into our community and they're going to be all sorts of different, from different backgrounds and views and worldviews and things like that. Everybody is welcome in this church. But when they have this encounter with Jesus, guess what? Their lives are still going to be a bit messy. There's going to be stuff that we might think, oh, well, they shouldn't be doing that and they should get this sorted already and stuff. It's none of your business. Yeah. It's not our job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Yeah. Transforms people's lives. We're called to love one another. And if they're doing something you don't agree with, pray for them. Yeah. Don't judge them. And whatever you do, please, for the love of God, and I will talk to you very seriously if I hear anyone doing this. People that are passionate about Jesus, and if I hear anything like, oh, don't worry, they'll calm down. Oh, you know, they're just young. Those young people are a bit crazy for Jesus. When they get older, they'll be more like me. Please don't become like them. I'm talking to you guys. Don't do it. Just get passionate about Jesus and not care what the old people think. Seriously. Don't, seriously, show them how it's done. Like, just get crazy for Jesus and just go, we love you old people, but we love Jesus more. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. We want to see people ignited. We don't want converts coming in here and then going out week to week and no one would ever be able to tell the difference. There's got to be some fire burning within us. So we're called to our world, igniting and active. The opposite to active is just sedentary, passive. We're talking about a doing, something that's alive, something that's real, something that is healthy. Something that's healthy will grow. Now, this word cannot be given just in isolation, because if you just focus on activity, you can be very, very busy, but doesn't mean you're actually growing or deepening in your relationship with Jesus. So yes, we're all about an active, and they go together, faith. Yeah. Turn to the person next to you and say, active faith. Active faith. So we're about a doing. That what God ignites in our heart and our spirits should motivate us and compel us to do good works. We don't do the good works so that we get on fire and passionate about Jesus. Sorry. For our lives should be reflective, our actions should reflect the love of Jesus. All right, my glasses are in the way. It's not coping with my overexuberance today. But active has to be partnered with faith. So together, we're active about faith. And so, as I said, being active doesn't equal a growing or a deepening faith. An active faith is a growing trust, a growing belief, experience that nothing is impossible with our God. For we're told that it is by grace through faith we are saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're called to live by faith and not by sight. And our faith should compel us to the activity. Yep. We're not all about just being busy. It's an active faith together. So we're called to our world, igniting an active faith, igniting active faith with the pure. That word, I think, should pretty much speak for itself. Yet the reality, as in the Christian faith, really across the board, is that it's somewhat subjective in terms of its an interpretation of what is pure, and as we'll hear in a minute, what is truth. And all I can say to you is that we constantly just have to keep going back to the Word of God. Ourselves, personally, going back to what does the Word of God have to say about any situation that we get faced with. But we want to present to people and to be living out a pure, uncontaminated, untainted reflection of what the Word of God says and is. Want to actually be being transformed more and more into the image and the likeness of what God's word has to say, and the image and likeness of Christ more than anything else, which we believe to be the pure. And then the next one, life-changing. I've talked about when a fire gets ignited in you, you can't stay the same. I mean, I just love hearing the stories. There are so many sitting here today of people that have come to a relationship with Christ in the last 2, 3, 4 years, and the change in people's lives is just astounding. It's beautiful. It's amazing. People's lives who are not the same today as they were 12 months or 2 years ago. All glory to God. Praise God for that. But we're about life change. We're not about just sitting around and being dead, dull, and boring. Because if we're dead, dull and boring and there's no light and there's no warmth in us, then there's no fire in us. Where is the Holy Spirit in our lives? Life changing. We want to become more like Jesus. I just love the stories that come out of our church. I love the fact that people just go, you know what, I used to get angry really quickly. But it just takes me a lot longer to get to that place now. People just go, I used to struggle with this area of something that controlled my life, but it doesn't have a hold on my life anymore. I used to think about this and think about that a lot, and those things I don't even care about. I'm actually more concerned about the people who don't have as much as me anymore. It's just amazing. Just that life change that we see coming through. Then, with the truth, which again is the word of God, finally of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We're called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure, life-changing truth of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All about Jesus. I got asked a question, Phil, if you had to, if it was a business, what would your product as Compass Church be? I went, that's a weird question for a church. But what's our product? And I said, it's Jesus. And the guy looked at me and he goes, really? I said, well, I hope so. And he goes, no, but you know, some churches have, you know, the youth thing, or they have the music thing and that sort of stuff. And I said, listen, if it's not all about Jesus, what's the point? If people don't leave with Jesus, what's the point? It's all about Jesus being at the center of it all. So we're called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. That's what Compass Church is about. If you want to see what that's going to look like in 5-10 years, read the document. But let me just leave you with this. I want to close with this. I've got a short video clip. For me, that question, do we believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer for the terminal disease called sin?
Yes.
Do we truly believe that? Because I believe we live in a world where people are crying out, they may not use these words, but they're crying out for freedom. Watch this.
And what poundage do you imagine the entry may refer to, sir? A mast and sails, perhaps?
Hear this. Give us free.
Your Honor, please instruct the defendant that he cannot disrupt these proceedings with such a...
Give us free!
If we are to have any semblance of order in this court, Your Honor...
Give us free!
Crying out, give us free, or anything else.
I'm trying
to question this witness.
Give us free! Give us free!
I reckon you can agree or disagree, but I think we live in a world where people are crying out, give us free. Some people think, oh, if I was free of my mortgage debt, if I was free of my personal credit card debt or personal loan debt, life would be so much better. But I think there's a deeper yearning, there's a deeper cry. That people are crying out, give us free. And they'll do that in different ways. They'll scream that out in their actions in different ways. Your friends, my friends, are doing that, screaming out, give me free. And we know that it's only Jesus Christ that can truly give the freedom that they're searching for. And I believe that. Do you believe that? Do we as a church believe that? To take the mandate, the Great Commission, called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. Father, this morning we just thank you. That while we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. We can only love you because you first loved us. We don't deserve your kindness, your forgiveness, your mercy. But your grace is sufficient for all of us. No one is beyond your grace. This morning, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that as I hope, so desperately hope, that you've been free to move on people's hearts, as you've moved on mine, that we'd be reminded of the great commission of what we have been called to fulfill. That we live with neighbours, we live in a street, we live in a community, a city that cries out, I want freedom. I want peace. I want purpose. There has to be more. Give me free. Jesus, we believe it's you. You're the only one that can give true freedom. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. This morning I pray that we'd be reminded, stirred, even made uncomfortable about our comfortability, myself included. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, just as we draw this service to a close today, it'd be remiss of me not to offer this gift of salvation that I've been talking about that only can come through Jesus Christ. Through his death, his burial, his resurrection, he demonstrated that he took upon himself all of your and my wrongs, guilt, shame, failures, mistakes that we've made and will make, and he paid the price for them. So that we don't have to live with the weight, as it were, almost like a debt of shame, of guilt, of the sin that all of us have. We don't have to live with that. Jesus Christ has paid the price. He's paid the debt in full for you and for me, that you could live and I could live free in right relationship with him, but to live life with purpose and meaning, with hope, with joy, no matter what we face. This morning, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ to come in, to bring the freedom I'm talking about, the forgiveness that I'm talking about, if you've never had your heart set on fire as only God can do, you've never had the breath of God come in and breathe life into you, then today is your day. I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know where you're at with God, but the first step of starting a relationship with him is accepting Christ's forgiveness. He offers it as a free gift today. Is there anybody here who would say, yes, Phil, I want that. I want to experience that. I want to experience that fire, that life, that hope that you've been talking about. Is there anybody here today who wants that freedom? If that's you today, could I just ask that you raise your hand? I'm about to close the service, but I'd love to pray with you after this service. Is there anybody here today who say, Phil, that's me? Just raise your hand so I can see. Love the privilege of praying with you this morning. Best decision you could ever make. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm just going to wait just a moment more. This decision is too important to rush. Anybody at all? Become the greatest day of your life so far. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, as we sit here in this moment, I just honor your presence. Before we just move off into the busyness of the day, let's just remain in this moment just for a little bit longer. As Shawantha had that word for somebody here today, or maybe it's for a couple of people, please don't forget that. Please know that God cares, that he knows, that he's wanting to take that burden from you, that anxiety from you. He wants to do a trade this morning. He wants to take that from you, and in its place he wants to give you peace and rest. Praise you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you breathe. Just blow through this place right now. Just for hearts that are open right now, hearts that are crying out to you. As we close this service, I'm going to ask, if you would like prayer this morning, maybe you've only got just what resembles just a small little single coal that's flickering, just flickering. And you just need the breath of God to breathe on it, to fan it back into the flame. Not that it once was, but even greater. There's people in this room that God doesn't want to restore you back to where you were. He wants to actually increase on what was. He wants you to experience a new normal that's operating in a new level of the supernatural. There's people in this room that if you were actually encouraged, and I dare you today to start praying, Father, I eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. God is wanting to use us in our workplace with our work colleagues. God is wanting to give you words of knowledge, words of wisdom, a prophetic word for somebody in your workplace, and he'll give you the words to say, he'll give you the opportunity. God's wanting to release his supernatural power through the life of this church, but if we're not open to receiving it, how sad that would be. I pray we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but Spirit of the living God, I pray our hearts would be open. And if anyone here in this room would think, well, I can't do that, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I rebuke that over your life today. And we've just released just an openness, a boldness, Holy Spirit courage and boldness into your life today. Pray that we'd just have a desperation for the lost. Those people to come into that life-changing relationship with Jesus. But church, hear me clearly, it's not just about a one-off decision. It's about life change, transformation, ongoing daily walk with Jesus Christ, becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We're just in awe of you. Please don't lose the wonder and awe. Don't allow comfortability to creep into your life so the splendor and the glory of God gets minimized. The attraction and appeal of a large TV or a particular house holds greater awe and splendor in your mind's eye than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May we be captivated, church, captivated by the wonder, the awe, the majesty, the power of our great God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, please help us. Our neighbors, our friends, our city needs it. I'm just going to close the service, but I just feel that if you want to stay, can we just respect people? You might want to just stay in your seat. You might want to just come and kneel before the Lord this morning and just spend some time with him. We open up this altar area now, but I just sense that God is just gently and sovereignly just moving on hearts now, and I just want to respect that, but I'm conscious of time. If you need to go, God bless you. Thank you for being in church. We have special guests next week, which will be fantastic. But I just don't think God's finished in this space just yet. Have a great week. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.